ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, entitled The Glories of Lord Ananta, verses 7 and 8. Dhyayamanaha surasuroraga siddha gandharva vidyadhara muniganeri अनवरत मद मूडित विकृत विह्वलोचन सुललित मुखारिकावृतेन प्ययामानः स्वपार्षत विबुद्धा युध पति अपरिमलान् रागनव तुलसिकामोद मध्वावेश मध्वा आस्वेन माद्यन् मधुकरव्रता मधुरा गीता श्रियं वैजयन्ती स्वां वनमाला नीलवास एककुण्डलो हल कगुहि कृतसौभग सुन्दरो भुजो भगवान् महेन्द्रो वारेन्द्र इव काञ्जनीं कक्षां उदारलीलो बिभ्रति So here we can see long words. So one word will be going for about couple of lines. These are compound words. Dhyayamanaha, being meditated upon.
Being meditated upon.
Sura,
Sura.
Of demigods.
Of demigods.
Asura,
Asura.
Demons.
Demons.
Uraga,
snakes.
Siddha,
Siddha.
Inhabitants of Siddhaloka.
Gandharva.
Inhabitants of Gandharva Loka.
Vidyadhara.
Vidyadhara.
Muni.
And of great sages. Ganaihi. By groups. Anavarata.
Constantly.
Madhamuditaha. Delayed by intoxication. Vikrata. Moving to and fro. Vihvala. Rolling. Lochanaha. Whose eyes. Sulalita. Excellently composed. Mukharika. Of speech. Amrdena.
By the nectar.
Apyayamanaha. Pleasing. Savashada. His own associate. Vibuddha Yudhapatim. The heads of the different groups of demigods.
The heads of the different groups of demigods.
Aparimlan.
Never faded.
Raga.
Raga.
Who's lesser?
Nava.
Ever fresh.
Tulasika.
Of the Tulasi blossoms.
Amoda.
By the fragrance.
Madhu
Asavena.
And the honey.
Madhyan. Being intoxicated.
Madhukara
Vrata of the beast. Madhura
Gita
by the sweet singing.
Sriyam,
which is made more beautiful.
Vaijayanti,
the garment named Vaijayanti.
Swam,
his own.
Vanamala,
garland. Nilavasaha.
Covered with blue
garments. Sorry, garments. Eka
kundalaha.
Wearing only one ear.
Hala
kakuti. On the handle of a plow.
Krita.
Place.
Subhaga.
Auspicious.
Sundara.
Beautiful.
Bhujaha.
Hands.
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mahaindraha,
the king of heaven.
Varana Indraha,
the elephant.
Iva,
like.
Kanjani,
golden.
Kaksham,
bell.
Udaralilaha,
engaged in transcendental
pastimes.
Bibhrati,
wears.
Shukadeva
Goswami continued,
the demigods, the demons,
the Uragas,
serpentine
demigods,
the Siddhas,
the Gandharvas,
the Vidyadharas,
and many highly
elevated
sages
constantly
offer prayers
to the Lord.
Because he
is intoxicated,
the Lord
looks
bewildered,
and his
eyes appearing like
flower
in a full bloom,
move to
and fro. He
pleases his
personal associates,
the heads
of the demigods,
by
the sweet
vibrations
emanating from
his mouth.
Dressed
in bluish
garments
and wearing
a single earring,
he
holds a plow
on his
back
with his
two beautiful
and well-constructed hands. Appearing
as
white
as the
heavenly
king
Indra,
he wears
a golden
belt
around
his waist
and a
Vaijayanti garland
of
ever-fresh
tulasi
blossoms
around
his
neck.
Beasts
intoxicated
by the
honey-like
fragrance
of the tulasi
flowers
hum
very sweetly
around
the garland,
which
thus become
more and
more beautiful.
In
this way,
the Lord
enjoys his
magnanimous
pastimes.
Verse
8.
Ya esha
evam
anushrudo
dhyayamano
mukshuna
anadikala
karma
vasana
grahitam
avidyamayam
hrudaya
granthim
sattvarajas
tamomayam
andar
hrudayam
gata
ashu
nirbhinnati
tasyanubhavan
bhagavan
swayambhuvo
naradaha saha
tumburuna
sabhayam
brahmanaha
samshlokayam
asa.
If
persons
who are very
serious
about being
liberated
from material
life
hear
the glories
of Anandadev
from the mouth
of a spiritual
master
in the
chain of
disciplic succession,
and
if they
always
meditate
upon
Sankarsana,
the Lord
enters the
core of their
heart,
vanquishes
all the
dirty contamination
of material
modes of
nature,
and
cuts to pieces
the
heart knot
within
the heart,
which
has been tied
tightly
since
time
immemorial
by the
desires
to dominate
material nature
through fruitive
activities.
Narada
Muni, the son
of Lord Brahma,
always
glorifies
Anantadev
in his father's
assembly.
There
he
sings
blissful
verses
of
his own
composition,
accompanied
by his
stringed
instrument
or a celestial
singer,
known
as Tumburu.
Purport
by His Divine
Grace,
A.C.
Bhaktivedanta
Swami Srila
Prabhupada
Ki Jai.
None
of these descriptions
of
Lord
Anandadev
are
imaginary.
They
are all
transcendental,
blissful
and full of
actual
knowledge.
However,
unless
one
hears them
directly
from a bona
fide spiritual
master
in the line
of disciplic
succession,
one cannot
understand
them.
This
knowledge is
delivered to
Narada
by Lord Brahma,
and
the great saint
Narada,
along with
his companion
Tumburu,
distributes
it
all
over the
universe.
Sometimes
the Supreme Personality
of Godhead
is described
as Uttama
Shloka,
one who is
praised by
beautiful
poetry.
Narada
composed
various
poems
to glorify
Lord Ananta,
and
therefore
the word
Samshlokayam
Asa,
praised
by
selected
poetry,
is used
in this
verse.
The
Vaishnavas
in the Gaudiya
Sampradaya
belong
to the
disciplic
succession
stemming
from
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma
is the spiritual
master
of Narada.
Narada
is the spiritual master
of Vyasadeva,
and
Vyasadeva
wrote
Srimad
Bhagavatam
as
a commentary
on
the Vedanta
Sutra.
Therefore,
all
devotees in the
Gaudiya
Sampradaya
accept
the
activities
of Lord
Ananda
related
in
the
Srimad
Bhagavatam
as
authentic,
and
they are
thus
benefited
by
going
back home,
back
to
Godhead.
The
contamination
in
the heart
of
a
conditioned
soul
is
like
a huge
accumulation
of garbage created by the three modes of material nature, especially the modes of rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. This contamination become manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. As confirmed herein, unless one receives transcendental knowledge in disciplic succession, there is no question of his becoming purified of this contamination. Om Atyarati Granthasya Jnananjanastakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagatpadirubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhuteir Mahabhir Yai Mahapuro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhumte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Atmaka Soram Krishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi Me Hare Krishna. Here we have such a fantastic description of Ananta Dev is given. The whole chapter is the glories of Lord Ananta Dev, who is situated at the bottom of the universe, even beneath Patala Loka. He is holding the whole universe on his foot, just like a mustard seed. So it's insignificant for him. At the same time, when we are approaching such far out descriptions of Ananta Dev or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we need to be mindful, because it could be misconstrued by materialistic people, and also the part of us where we have materialism in our heart. So in other words, it is a challenging topic for materialists, of course, and also a part of us which is contaminated by materialism. Thus, in Sri Chaupanishad it is mentioned that we need to know material knowledge and spiritual knowledge simultaneously. So material knowledge is considered as ignorance. As it is mentioned, vidyam cha avidyam cha yas tat vidok ubhayam saha. So one should understand both ubhayam, vidya and avidya, both ubhayam, both should be understood. And it is qualified, vidyam amritam, sorry, avidya amritam tirtva vidya amritam ashmite. So from ignorance, what happens? We can get only repeated birth and death, mrityum. And amritam, one gets eternal life. So there is a difference between knowledge and ignorance. At the same time, Shisha Upanishad recommends to know both knowledge and nescience simultaneously. The 11th mantra of Shisha Upanishad. This is very much applicable in a devotee's life, because when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam, we also need to know the defects of material knowledge. We need to know the defects of materialism and defects of the consumeristic society. It is very important that we know. Otherwise, we will not be able to put our full faith in spiritual life. If one does put faith on spiritual life and this knowledge simply based on faith and based on just sentiments, it can be challenging when some questions come. If someone challenges, that's why Vidya and Avidya have to be known simultaneously. For example, we need to know the defects of materialism. Otherwise, we can run after newer and newer products for material enjoyment. You need to get this brand to be happy. And if you already have this brand, then you need to get the latest version. So this is materialism. If you don't understand the nature of materialism, if you don't understand the nature of consumerism, one can easily fall trap of it. So one has to be very careful. If we don't understand that the material world or the material energy will not deliver what it promises, one may toil hard in this material world. So the material energy will promise many things. Happiness, satisfaction, enjoyment, many, many things. But that is not really a deliverable. It's not never coming to us. It is, there's a temporary sensation of happiness is there, but it's going to go away. So we have to be very careful about that. The same principle is applicable even in terms of material relationships. Sometimes even devotees think, my colleague at work or my childhood friends can know me better. The devotees are not understanding me well. They are always talking about, think about Krishna, chant Krishna, send, do service. They are not really understanding my heart. So even a devotee can think like that, and one may think, my colleagues are better people. Or those who are materialists. And that is another trap. So we need to know that there is also a trap of material energy. I remember a nice story told by Ramaya Swami Maharaj. He was telling one devotee, after being a devotee for many years, living in the temple, suddenly one thought came to his mind. I have to develop friendship with my childhood friends. And particularly one person was there. So he was thinking, okay, I had to establish friendship with him because we were such good friends. Now I had to go and meet him. So he went into this kind of an illusion that I had to meet my friend. There was no particular Krishna conscious purpose, like, you know, I had to preach to him or give a book or nothing like that. So he left the temple. He went to his countryside, wherever it was, and he knocked the door. So his childhood friend came out. So he told, look, we were classmates, we were childhood best friends. So that guy asked straight on the face, so what? So when he heard so what, then all the illusion went away. He understood, okay, this was an illusion. So what? It's not a big deal. This is how material friendship is, because they cannot really help us for a long time. They can only bring us down in our Krishna consciousness. They cannot elevate us. So one may take us to a trip in this material world further, and one may lose one's Krishna consciousness. Nothing else is going to happen. So we had to be educated about the nature of material world and defects of this material world. So this is part of our education. So it is not just fantastic stories about Krishna or other incarnations, but defects of material world is very important. And the material knowledge in itself is defective. Important point. Material knowledge in itself is defective. And the methods to acquire material knowledge is defective. we hear in Sri Chopra's very beginning, the four defects. To err is human, to be illusion, and then imperfect senses, and on top of that one thinks that one knows everything. So, cheating propensity. This is the material world, and this is the four defects are there with this material knowledge. And even the knowledge acquisition in itself is defective. So, the knowledge can never be perfect. So, we had to be very careful about it. Interestingly enough, there were few studies done on research itself. Research on research. Okay, how people do conduct research. And there are many, many published works, right? Vrajaraj Bhuva knows about it, all about publications. So, there are so many published works, and they started to research on how many of these published results are reproducible. So, 2015, they did a study on the field of psychology. How many of these published research works are actually reproducible? Or in other words, are they really true? And in this study, of course, they haven't studied everything, but the works they have studied, they found out that they could only reproduce 40% of the published work. And then they studied some medical field, like, you know, oncology, and they found that only 10% of the published works were reproducible. So that became a hot topic, and they started probing why such a thing happened. Okay, one is, one can be fraudulent, one can cheat. But they found out that even if one is not cheating and even if one is thoroughly honest, materially speaking, still one is prone to make many kind of mistakes. So there are many kind of illusions that are very prominent. One of them, they called it as hypothesis myopia. Hypothesis myopia, you know, myopia, right? Short-sightedness. So you can only see something which is very close to me. So I can see the microphone, but I cannot see anything beyond. So this is hypothesis myopia. One is so short-sighted about their own hypothesis. So that what they do, that they accept only selective evidences which support the hypothesis. Other evidences are discounted. So this is a big problem. Even the evidences which are against this hypothesis, they are not taken seriously. Actually, this is the basis of this famous book written by Michael Cremo. What is his name? Dhruta Karma Prabhu. Forbidden Archaeology. So Forbidden Archaeology is challenging Darwinian evolution. The basis of this book is, there are so many evidences that do not support Darwinian evolution. So in accepting and hypothesizing this Darwinian evolution, all these evidences are discounted. And only the evidences that support, they take. So selective referencing, selective evidences. So this is one issue. Hypothesis myopia. So this is, when it comes to Darwinian evolution, it is not very innocent, but there are a lot of politics involved. There are a lot of politics involved. It is not just a simple thing. So that is called the politics of knowledge. Politics in knowledge. Those who speak anything against Darwinian evolution, they lose their academic career. They are banned. That is a very interesting video about this. I forgot the title of the video, but many scientists and academic staff, they speak out how their career got ruined. How their career got ruined, because they spoke something against the Darwinian evolution. Some are biologists, some are even astronomers. They spoke something about artificial intelligence. They just mentioned something about artificial intelligence in one of their papers, and they got banned. So that's how it is. There are a lot of politics in knowledge. So partially it can be because of the tendency to err, and partially it is the politics. So this is one kind of problem in acquiring knowledge in the material world. Second, if somebody is shooting, okay, somebody is shooting bullets, okay, and they have a target. Suppose you first shoot all the bullets and you draw bullseyes. After shooting around the dense marks of bullets, then it is a bit comical, isn't it? First you shoot and wherever the bullets have gone and you draw the bullseye around that. That doesn't make much sense. But even in science, this can happen. Many times that the data that scientists obtain can be very random. But one can create a sensible theory out of those random data. This is another issue. So don't think that the knowledge that the scientists propose are always right, or most of the times it is wrong. And that's why what we studied maybe 20 years back, it's not true now. So our degree can be in ignorance. Okay? Because that is not true now. So we got a degree, but it's in ignorance now. It's all proven wrong. And that's why it comes to the point of just storytelling. You get some data and you imagine something and creative story writing. So science can even go to that level, and which is true. And a lot of science is in this condition. And that's why we need to know that even the process of knowledge acquisition in science is not perfect. And that will lead us to the real knowledge which is coming from the disciplic succession. When we approach disciplic succession, the first knowledge that we get is there is something beyond matter. That is the starting point. And that is a very critical point. So Srila Prabhupada, when he speaks to new people, he doesn't get into so many fantastic things like, you know, Ananda Dev or Krishna's pastimes. And that's not our purpose. That we shouldn't speak about all these far out things to new people. Rather, we had to make them think that, okay, there is something beyond matter and who are we. So that is the beginning point. And if one can accept that, that will help them to go further. In terms of modes of material nature, mode of goodness is really good. We are not about mode of goodness, but mode of goodness, one can be contemplative, one can be reflective. And so one can know that, okay, there is something beyond matter. That is a product of the mode of goodness. Sattva sanjayate jnanam. So what is that jnanam? I am beyond this matter. So that is the reason sattva gun, the mode of goodness, is important, because mode of goodness is the window towards transcendence. So mode of goodness is not transcendence, but it's a window towards transcendence. So one can start seeing through the mode of goodness, but we cannot get out through the window. We need a door. So the door is not mode of goodness, but mode of goodness can actually show us that there is something beyond. So that is very important. That's why good habits, good lifestyle, they are helpful, they are conducive to accept that we are beyond matter. But still, the transcendental knowledge is above the mode of goodness. That is in pure goodness. It's a beginning point though. So in Krishna consciousness is a dynamic process. The real knowledge we get from the spiritual master. And the realization of knowledge takes place depending on the service attitude in the heart of a devotee, depending on the development of one's own Krishna consciousness. So on one side, we can receive knowledge. Okay, there are verses in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. On some one side, we have knowledge that is accessible, which is coming through the disciplic succession. And on the other side, we are the persons who are actually perceiving this knowledge, trying to understand this knowledge. So we can access this knowledge as much as we are elevated in our Krishna consciousness. So it is not exactly that we are all going to get the same depth of knowledge in Krishna consciousness. It is very much a variable. And that makes the process of Krishna consciousness very dynamic. So the more purified we are, we can access Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam more. And less purified we are, we get less. So there is a direct connection between the state of our Krishna consciousness and the knowledge that we are accessing. And that's so in practical example, it's a big step in our Krishna consciousness when we start focusing on Krishna's pleasure and spiritual master's pleasure rather than our own gross or subtle sense gratification. So our consciousness can be covered a lot by thoughts of sense gratification, our desires, etc. And when we move away from there to the desire of spiritual master, desire of Krishna, desire of the devotees, then we are making a huge jump in our consciousness. That is the beginning point where we get a deeper access to Shastra. Because now we are not in the center, rather Krishna is in the center. And then the spiritual knowledge will make more sense. So this is actually a very important step in our Krishna consciousness. That happens gradually, it's not a one day thing. But gradually when we are moving and thinking towards Krishna's pleasure, then this knowledge becomes accessible and we get more realization about it. To give a practical example, anyone can chant Hare Krishna. Even as devotees, we all are chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. However, there is a huge difference in chanting if we chant with strong material desires. For example, I just like Karmis, I have all my material desires very strongly in my heart. Maybe need to get a house, money, this, that, facilities. Very strong desire. I need recognition, very strong desire. And I will pursue for everything. And on top of that, I will chant 16 rounds. I will chant, I will get my 16 rounds done. But my objective is something else. One is chanting 16 rounds for sure. But the desire, the material desires are very strong. And it is reflected in one's life by one's endeavors. Second, I will endeavor because I need to survive in this world, especially for others. I have to survive in this world. I will endeavor, I may need a house, I may need a job, I need a bank balance, that's alright. But I know very clearly that this is not the purpose of life. I will try to have quality chanting and understanding that whatever I am getting by material endeavor is going to come into my mind and I am not going to get any satisfaction out of it. If one is clear on that point, and then if one is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one gets much different result. So the first case, one will not get much access to the scriptures. The same knowledge, one will not get much access to the scriptures. One will not be able to go deeper. It is guaranteed. And on the other side, if one is more sincere and one is able to control one's material desire, it can come to the mind, one is controlling that and preaching to our own mind, then one gets a much deeper sense of the scriptures. So it is very much subjected to our own consciousness. And that's where Krishna consciousness becomes a very dynamic process. It is not a static process. And that's why devotees say we can read these scriptures again and again. Why is it possible? Because each time we read, we can go deeper and deeper. So it is not like, you know, I have done the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I have studied Bhagavatam, or I have done Bhakti Shastri, I have done Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't work like that. In other words, in Bhakti Shastri, in the Shastric studies, we do some analysis. We have some tools of analysis, which are good. But that's not the aim of Shastric study. That is only a beginning step to help us to understand, analyze. For example, okay, why Arjuna didn't want to fight? So it's an important piece of information. Okay, Arjuna didn't want to fight. Why? Okay, good. We can tell, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But just by knowing that, we haven't understood the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It is far deeper than that. There is much more than that. Are we able to see this Arjuna's reasons in our own life and in this world? That's the next question. The Shastric study, it is good, very important. But that is only at the beginning. It is familiarizing us and of course it is giving us some realization of Shastra. But that is only a beginning. The Shastric study never stops. It's a lifetime process. So these are some hand-holding, that's all, which are very important, but just hand-holding. So the understanding of Shastra and applying and realizing is a lifetime process. And as time progresses, we can know how the same verses of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are making more sense to us. That's why, if you want to go deeper in our Krishna consciousness, we need to have dependency on Krishna. There is a, I explained, just somehow or other getting rounds done and chanting with dependency are different. Chanting with dependency, doing devotional service with dependency on Krishna is very important. I am dependent on you. I need you. That's a quite a deeper feeling, and that is very important in the devotees. If we simply try to do any service or any sadhana, I repeat, with sincerity, then naturally dependency will come, because we realize that we cannot do it by our own strength. Just trying to chant sincerely 16 rounds, hearing 16 rounds, we realize that, okay, I cannot do it by my own strength. You can try to do any service. After some time, mind will start playing up. So then, if you want to pursue and if you want to do that service in a deeper way, one has to depend on Krishna. That's why service or sadhana with dependency on Krishna is very important. And that dependency will purify us. And it will take ourselves to the next level of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness, it's a continuing process. It's a deepening process always. And what are the determining factors for our level of Krishna consciousness? Of course, it is based on our stages of bhakti, the quality of chanting, the offenses that we are committing, the quality of remembrance that we have about Krishna, the mentality of selfishness, I and mine, and the influence of lower gunas, as it is mentioned by Rajas and Tamas, and also higher guna like Sattva. All these things are factors influencing our stages of bhakti, where we are placed. And depending on that, we have different levels of access to scriptures. So this is what our scriptures are giving. And in here, in this verse 7, there is this fantastic description of Ananta Dev is presented. The transcendental form of Ananta Dev, right? What can we see? He is a snake. Ananta Dev is a multi-hooded snake. But the description here is fantastic. He is very beautiful. He is very garland. He has blue clothes. He has his plow. Think about him. A snake. And one may say, he's just far out. Is it true? Even the description of Matsyadev in Bhagavatam is amazing. Matsyadev is the fish incarnation. He is considered as an emblem of beauty. He's an emblem of beauty. The Matsyadev manifests beauty. So we think, you know, fish, can a fish manifest beauty? So attractive this fish was. Similarly, here Anantadev is also very attractive, very beautiful. How can you accept that? Yes, this is beyond matter. This knowledge is beyond matter. And anything is possible. See here, he wears golden belt around his waist and a Vaijayanti garland of ever fresh tulasi blossom around his neck. See, he has Vaijayanti garland, he has tulasi manjaris, and bees intoxicated by the honey like fragrance of the tulasi flowers hum very sweetly around the garland, which thus become more and more beautiful. See, this is a description of the Lord. With a material consciousness, who can accept this? Impossible. A serpent being decorated by this way. And that's why the knowledge from parampara is very important. Parampara knowledge will establish the right understanding in our heart, and it will develop the right faith. Ananta Dev is Supreme Lord, of course, and in this case, generally the Ananta Dev who holds the universe is a Shaktivaish avatar. He's a jiva empowered by the Supreme Lord. At the same time, the Ananta Dev, on him, Vishnu lies down. He is actually expansion of the Lord. So this Ananta Dev, who is under the bottom of the universe, is Shakti Aveshavata. So the jiva empowered to act in that capacity. And that Ananta Dev is glorious because he preaches Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we are hearing the glories of Ananta Dev. This Ananta Dev preaches Srimad Bhagavatam.
he gives purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, which was heard by Kumaras. We can hear in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sanat Kumara and other Chatush Kumaras, they heard the purports of Bhagavatam from this Anantadev. And these Sanat Kumaras and other Sanakadis, they spoke to Sankhyana Rishi. Sankhyana Rishi spoke this Bhagavatam to Parashramani and Brihaspati. So we can see we have two lines of Srimad Bhagavatam coming. One coming from Lord Brahma to Naradamani to Vyasadev, and another Bhagavatam coming from Anandadev to the Kumaras to Sankhyanamani to Parashara to Vyasadev. You can see multiple lines coming. And all of them in our Bhagavatam, what we are reciting, everything is in there. And that's why Anandadev is a glorious person. He's holding the universe and he's impregnated with transcendental knowledge which he awarded to the Kumaras. Here, there is a very interesting description of how Sankarsana, Anandadev, removes all the ignorance is given. I remember our Mahanaprabhu, he asks always this question. How Lord Shiva removes ignorance of the living entities. That is actually answered in this verse. Sankarsana, what he does, it's mentioned, if one is hearing this, if one hears the glories of Anandadev in the disciplic succession, as it is mentioned in the purport, we can hear the glories of Anandadev from our disciplic succession, and we do accept that. If one hears this knowledge from the disciplic succession, and if one does meditate on Sankarsana, then the Lord enters the heart, and then he cuts to pieces the heart knots within the heart. What are the heart knots? That are the material nature, which has been tied tightly since time immemorial. So that heart knot always refers to ignorance in Shastra. Hridaya Granthi is referring to ignorance specifically. Whenever the term Hridaya Granthi is used, it is referring to ignorance. So that's why it's mentioned. Heart knot within the heart, which has been tied tightly since time immemorial by the desire to dominate the material nature through fruitive activities. What is that ignorance? By that ignorance, one wants to do fruitive activities. So that is cut into pieces. How the Lord enters the heart. The same meaning as Srinotam Sokatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayam Nastohi Abhadrani Vidhurnoti Suhrut Satam. So that Suhrut Satam. Satam Suhrut. Satam means of the devotee. Suhrut, he is a friend. Well-wisher of the devotee. So he enters the heart and he does the purification. We cannot purify our heart. Just by hearing we can get purification. Because the Lord is entering. The sound vibration is no different from Krishna. So he can purify us. We cannot purify our heart. Can you purify our heart? No. Not possible. The Lord can do that. There is this pastime where Ramanujacharya, great Acharya in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, he was having a debate with a Mayavadi. And that debate went on for few days. Both were quoting scriptures and establishing their viewpoint. So Ramanujacharya was defending Vaishnavism and then establishing Vaishnavism, and at the same time he was attacking Mayavad philosophy coming from the Shankarites. But this Mayavadi, he started quoting verses and he started establishing the Mayavadi philosophy in such a way that at one point Ramanujacharya started thinking, I may even get defeated. So then he went back, he prayed to the Lord, what can I do now? Because looks like I'm going to defeat. So next day is the final day of the debate. Looks like I'm going to get defeated. Then the Lord came in the dream and told him, you have to read the commentary of this particular Acharya and then you will be able to defeat him. And the next day, Ramanujacharya went, he read the commentary, he went for the argument, but just seeing the effulgence of Ramanujacharya, this Mayavadi surrendered. He didn't have to even argue. So this is the power of the Lord. So actually the purification is done by the Lord. We cannot purify ourselves. The Lord is doing that. How he does that? But out of His cosmic mercy, He can enter the heart and He can purify. And that is mentioned here. Sankarsana, He enters the heart and He does purify. Whatever purification, it is done by the Lord. And so, we have to obtain this knowledge from the disciplic succession. Otherwise, it is not going to function. Prabhupada explains always why Bhagavad Gita as it is making devotees. And other Bhagavad Gita are not making devotees. Because there has to be a proper sambandha, jnana. So proper knowledge of connection to Krishna, proper sambandha, proper avideya, and then prayojana. If sambandha or the connection is understood wrongly, then one is not going to get the prayojana, one is not going to get the result. So as simple as that. That's the reason any simple devotee can understand even the deepest knowledge in Krishna consciousness, can have depths of realization simply by hearing from the spiritual master and acting according to that. So this is a contribution of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada presented this bona fide knowledge in great depth. In great depth. The amount of literature that Srila Prabhupada has given is just simply amazing. So that is our good fortune. And that is a good fortune for the whole world. This glories of Ananta are being described in this Bhagavata. And we are given sufficient understanding to know that. As it is mentioned here, Narada is glorifying the Lord in the assembly of Lord Brahma, using his Tumburu or along with this Gandharva Tumburu by chosen poetry, chosen verses. The Lord is Uttama Shloka. And that knowledge is available for us because we are coming in the same disciplic succession. And through that, we can purify ourselves. So I conclude and ask you any questions or comments. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Dev ki jai.